Let's just continue again to give the Lord thanks. Lord, thank you because the power of Christ is at work in me. It's working in me, both to will and to do his good pleasure, working out righteousness in me, working out his will in my life. The power of Christ is in me, is working. In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I said in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Let's just open our Bibles quickly. So Psalm 121, I want us to start from there. All right, before we read that psalm, let's just declare the word of understanding together. One, two, let's go. Now I declare that the Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, and I'm being filled with the knowledge of his will, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing him in all respects. I'm bearing fruit in every good work, and I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to his word. The word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area, and it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. I said amen.
Amen.
All right, Psalm 121, let's begin from that. How do we read this? Okay, let's everybody, you read it together, whichever version that you have. One, two, let's go. Now, before we read that verse one, I've read many commentaries, and they said that it is actually a question that David was asking. It was like, am I going to lift up my eyes to the mountains? Is that where my help is coming from? The answer is in verse 2. Actually, my help comes from the Lord. Yes. Let's read it again from verse 1. I will lift up my eyes to the mountains. From where shall my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to slip. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. Verse 5. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun will not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will protect you from all evil. He will keep your soul. The Lord will guard your going out and your coming in, from this time forth and forever. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
All right, let's take our seats. The Lord is good. I just thought we should read that. We have been talking about the power of praise. And I would like us to take the text again that we have been read a number of times. Let's just go back there and start from there. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Now, I'll read from verse 1. It said, now it came about after this that the sons of Moab and the sons of Ammon, together with some of the Maonites, came to make war against Jehoshaphat. Then some came and reported to Jehoshaphat, saying, a great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, out of Aram, and behold, they are in Hazazon Tamar, that is Engedi. Jehoshaphat was afraid, and he turned his attention to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. Please notice something, how Jehoshaphat responded to his problem. Nothing wrong with being afraid for a moment. It's how you solve it that's the issue. He did not go to negotiate the way Asa did in chapter 16. What he did was to turn to go and seek the Lord. He turned his attention, the Bible says, to seek the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. So if you notice, what the fast was to seek the Lord. So Judah gathered together to seek help from the Lord. They even came from all the cities of Judah to seek the Lord. Then Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court. And he said, O Lord, the God of our fathers, are you not God in the heavens? He was not asking God questions. He was emphasizing it. Are you getting me? Are you not God in the heavens? And are you not ruler over the kingdoms of the nations? That is, we know you are the ruler. Power and might are in your hand, so that no one can stand against you. Did you not, O God, drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people, Israel, and give it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend, forever? They have lived in it and have built you a sanctuary there for your name, saying, should evil come upon us, and all of that, just for the sake of time. Now behold, the sons of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom you did not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt. Verse 11, see how they are rewarding us by coming to drive us out of from your possession, which you have given us as an inheritance. O God, will you not judge them? For we are powerless before this great multitude who are coming against us. Nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are on you. All Judah was standing before the Lord with their infants, their wives, and their children. Now a prophecy came in verse 14. Then in the midst of the assembly, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah. Verse 15. And he said, listen, all Judah and all inhabitants of Jerusalem and King Jehoshaphat. Thus says the Lord to you, do not fear, nor be dismayed because of this great multitude. For the battle is not yours, but God's. Now, this is what you are going to do, verse 16. You go down against them tomorrow. Behold, they will come from this angle. Verse 17. You need not fight in this battle. Station yourselves to come and observe what is going to happen. Station yourselves, stand, and see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out to face them, for the Lord is with you. Now Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell down before the Lord, worshipping the Lord. The Levites from the sons of the Kohathites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a very loud voice. Then they rose early in the morning, that's verse 20, and went out to the wilderness of Tekoa. And when they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, listen to me, O Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem. Put your trust in the Lord your God, and you will be established. Put your trust in his prophets, and as a result, he says, you will succeed. Now when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who sang to the Lord, and those who praised him in holy attire, as they went out before the army, and said, give thanks to the Lord, for his loving kindness is everlasting. When, I believe that was a chorus, they were saying many things that you can see from Psalm 136. They probably were reading and singing from Psalm 136, probably. That's a probability. When they began singing and praising, verse 22, the Lord set ambushes against the sons of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah. So they were routed. How did it happen? Verse 23, the sons of Ammon and Moab, those ones were brothers, they rose up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, destroying them completely. And when they had finished with the inhabitants of Seir, anytime I get there, I don't know, I just start laughing. They helped to destroy one another. When Judah came to the lookout of the wilderness, they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, there were corpses lying on the ground, and no one, not one person, had escaped. When Jehoshaphat and his people came to take their spoil, they found much among them, including goods, garments, and valuable things, which they took for themselves, more than they could carry. And they were 3 days taking the spoil, because there was so much. May the Lord bless the reading of his word.
Amen.
Amen. That was a very long one. And I actually enjoyed reading it. I feel like I continued to read. Then on the fourth day, just joking. The Lord is good?
All the time.
I said the Lord is good.
All the time.
Now we'll continue just looking at the issue of the praise of God. And where we stopped last time, and of course, you know my habit, I like to just review briefly. And I'll pick up from there again. Praise is a form of prayer, and it is to be done without ceasing. So just like the Bible says, pray without ceasing. We can also read praise without ceasing. You understand? We can read it like that. We can read it as praise without being discouraged. Praise without getting tired. Men ought always to praise and not to faint. Men ought always to praise and not to lose heart. So the same thing. And what I've been trying to say is to emphasize to all, just like prayer is a habit, praise is a habit. Praise is not just the time we come out to praise God. The Bible says that those that fear the Lord spoke often one to another, and the Lord heard it. And that's what I was talking about last time. That's talking often one to another, which the Lord is hearing. praise, the Bible says that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What I'm trying to say is this. Out of the abundance of what's going on inside your heart, when it's time of prayer, that is what you are going to say. It is not the thing you learn. All those ones you learn and utter, they don't have much effect. They don't have much effect. It's what you say spontaneously without even realizing you are praying or praising this time. That is what actually is praise. And what is praise? Praise is when you ascribe to God the glory that is due His name. That's what praise is. When you ascribe to Him, there's a slight difference between praise and thanksgiving, even though they often go together. Thanksgiving is thank you, you did this. Thank you, you did this. But praise is slightly different. Praise is that I am saying you are the one that can do it. You are the one that has the power. The power is with you. It is not with anybody else. The power is in your hands. It is not in any other person's hands. That is what praise is. The power is in your hands. As an example, like now, we read from that Psalm 25, which we have been, is Psalm 22 now? Yes, Psalm 22. What we have been reading, that God is the governor or the ruler amongst the nations. So that if you see something going on, you know it is not. You know, when we talk a lot of times, we take glory away from Him. We don't realize it. When we see something going on, we should know that it is not human strength. It is not human power. It is not human ability. Many times, you know, I told you before the last American presidential election, you know, I get interested in a lot of those things going on. So I sit down, watch the analysis. Then one day I was sitting down and I was watching political debates on CNN, you know, or one of those channels, I think it was CNN. And we were talking about the different candidates. Democrats had the leading candidates were Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders. And then in the Republican side, a lot of them, Ben Carson was there. Cruz, what is his name? That Cruz man was there. Ted Cruz was there. And of course, the funniest of them all, Donald Trump. And of course, I used to watch the debate when they start talking. I tried to keep up with the news. Then one day I was watching. Suddenly I asked myself, why am I even wasting my time? I said, the Lord has already decided who's going to win this election. Yeah. After that, the debate, I lost interest. You know, that kind of passion I had for watching it, it just left me. I still just keep up with it just for news sake. Not really, I didn't keep up. If I stumbled into it, I watch. Anytime I stand and I'm watching, I say, all of you standing here, the Lord has decided who will win this election. Many of us have had our opinions. Then, of course, Donald Trump won the presidential primaries. Surprisingly, it surprised everybody. At least, it surprised me. I said, this was serious. When it was happening, the man was winning. Decided releasing, you know, recordings of what he said, what he did not say, a Trump University problem, everything was coming after against him. And against Hillary Clinton, he dropped to the bottom in the polls. Every poll said he's losing. And the man arose, Sadhu Sundar Selvaraj. I saw the video later, in August, and he said, I was in the Council of Heaven, and I saw Donald Trump appear. And the Lord said, this is the next president of the United States, that he has been prepared for the job. He made that statement in the open gathering of Christians like this, not as if from the airwaves, okay, but it was recorded, it was on YouTube. And to everybody's surprise, of course, results started coming out. And of course, you know, the way human beings calculate, they had the blue states that will always vote Democrats, they've done that for the last 50 years. Then they had the red states that will always vote Republican, they've done that for the last 50 years. Then they have the swing states, who can vote this way or that way, depending. So all the polls tend to focus on the swing states, to analyze what's happening in the swing states. What they did not know was that the Lord had gone to three blue states and turned them to red. I watched CNN releasing the results. CNN was getting shocked by the moment. Finally. Somebody say finally.
Finally.
Complete result came out. Donald Trump won. And the whole world said, what? Is this a joke? That it might be fulfilled, that which was spoken by the man of God. Yeah. The real man of God. Not the one in Lagos. The real man of God. Are you getting my point?
Yes, sir.
Now, what are we saying? He's the governor amongst the nations. We're talking about praise. So that was before then, well, I used to say it, of course. Initially, I thought the guy was joking. But when he won the required primaries, some people remember that. I used to say, this man might win this thing, though. If I had a strong suspicion, he would win. But that was not prophetic because I did not like the opponent. So when, as a prophet, once your emotions are involved, it's hard. That was why all the prophets in Nigeria could not see that Jonathan was going back to Tok. They say he will return. To where? What they did not know. They didn't know good Lord Jonathan was going to return to Tokyo, not to Asurok. Said, Jonathan shall return. Jonathan shall return. It was wish. They were wishing he would return. That's as a prophet, just by the way. If you're a prophet of God, if you feel the prophetic, and once you're a minister of the gospel, once you're a Christian, you have to be careful that your emotions don't get involved with things. You have to be careful. Although the only way you can get your emotions out of the way is to be filled with understanding. So be filled with understanding. What just happened to many of these Nigerian prophets was that they did not want the current head of state because he's a Muslim. That's all. That's all. They wanted a Christian to retain the seat. So all the spirit of prophecy was just confusing itself. All right? Now, but what are we saying? He's a governor amongst the nations. He's the Lord of all. He's the Lord Most High. He appoints rulers. He appoints rulers. That is praise we are talking about. So when we are talking about it, we don't, you know, we don't get involved as Christians on, no, huh? If you look at the pedigree, he will win. If you look at the arrangement, he will win. His campaign manager, you know, all those arguments are unbelieving arguments. As a believer, he just simply said, look, God has, he has chosen. And he has a habit of setting upon these kingdoms the lowliest, the least likely. The least likely politically that time was Donald Trump. Of all of them, he was the least likely. He had never held public office, never. He didn't serve in the military. Never held political office. The oldest man ever to take office as president of the United States. Everything was against him. Age, against him. Experience, against him. All the leaked videos of what he said about women, against him. The least likely was the person God picked and placed in there. And then, of course, what people will now do, they will now turn around and start looking at, okay, there was a strategist he used, another. You see, as a believer, be careful when you are talking. That's what I'm trying to emphasize to us again. Be careful. Your talk is where praise is. It's not when you get to church. It's your talk. When you're talking with your friends, when you're speaking about what's going to become of me in life, how do you talk? And you see, if praise is not in your heart like that, remember what I said, praise is ascribing to God the glory that is due his name. Praise is not bribery. What do I mean by bribery? Enter his courts with praise. If you don't praise him, you won't get anything. I've heard he say, look, when you've tried everything, it doesn't work, try praise. As if it's a formula. My children don't try praise with me. They know what I do. They come and say, I would like this done. Can you approve that? It's not try praise. What we don't understand, we think praise is go there and start hailing. Hailing is different from praise. You know me by hailing. That's what we do. It's psycho fancy. Start hailing, Babake, ah, Father. You know, is that habit we now take to God? You think that is so, you know, wind him. Wind this guy, wind him. Keep winding, winding. He will soon release. He will soon release. Wind him some more. Hallelujah. We worship you. Worship, worship, worship. Has he released? No. Come on, wind him some more. Father, we thank you. Has the money come? No, come on, wind him some more. You keep winding him, winding him. We are hailing, you know, hoping that he will lose control. Yeah. But that's not what praise is. Praise is just simply, my children come from school. Their principal will give them a letter. Tell your parents, you need to bring this amount of money to school next week. And they just walk in and drop the letter. There's no discussion on how will you find the money. Then on Monday, Daddy, did you process that letter? I did. And we are going. Where is the money? That's praise. Are you getting my point? Yeah. That is the supplier of this demand from our principal. Is this guy here? You get the point? We're not going anywhere else. If he says he doesn't have money, no problem. We'll be back. But we're not going to ask our neighbor. We're not going to anybody else. If he doesn't need it, we'll come back later in the day. Uh-huh. Daddy, perform. That is, the idea is you are the one that will perform. So praise is when they get to school and say, have you paid? No. Why not? I will remind my daddy. Are you getting my point? It's not like when I get home, Victory, you stay here. I'm going to stay on this side. And Gwenga, you stay in front. Now raise your hand and say, daddy, oh, daddy, daddy, oh. Are you getting my point? It's not trying to wind me. It's giving the glory to where it is due. One day, just to give you an example, my son, the oldest one, he developed one habit. I had to call him to order. You ask him for something. He asks you for something. You refuse on principle. So he decides as a little boy that it is, you don't want to spend the money. So he calls his grandmother. I said, Grandma, please, sir. Anyway, one day, I was in the house. Grandma, what happened? This is my wife that traveled and came back with a PS4. So I looked, where did you get a PS4 from? Oh, my mother said, I should help buy that. My son asked for it. What gave you the right to take my glory and give to another? I don't know whether you're getting my point. That's it. That was a quarrel. Just by the way, I didn't know why a game should cost that much. Maybe I'm old school, but there's no one out on earth. Of course, I don't need to tell you, I seized it. My glory I will share with no other. I collected PS4 and kept it somewhere. See, despondency in the house. God, the children were like, what? I just kept it in the study and locked it. I don't know how many months. It was there for a very long time. What was the sin? You needed something expensive. You bypassed me and your mother and went to ask your grandmother. And grandmothers, you know what they are. You know what grandmothers are. So their own duty is, don't reason about these things. It's my grandchildren. Yeah. And what is your problem? They are my grandchildren. As if there's a way to have grandchildren without passing to the parents. You know. And didn't say anything. I just said, no problem. I collected it and imprisoned it. It was there forever. I don't even know how long. 6 months. It was like this. I forgot it there. I can imagine a young man going to school telling his mate, I have PS4. That was all he could get out of it. Where is it? It's at home. Which part of the house they must not know. But what's my issue? I said, no. My glory I will share with no one else. That's what we're saying. So I'm praising for a very, very long time. More than 6 months. In fact, I forgot there was something like that in the house. And all the children forgot. They all buried it from their minds. Then one day, the spirit of mercy came upon me. After they had learned the lesson. And of course, the rule was that you want anything, you ask first. If your grandmother made the offer, and you process it through your parents. And of course, my wife told her, because my wife's mom, I told to her mother. I said, listen, mommy, please, try. Yeah, that's it. No, that's what we are talking about, praise. Praise is not the raising up of hands. The raising up of hands is the, let me use the expression, is the overflow. Is the overflow. Is an attitude all the time. Are you getting my point? It's something, it's when we are talking, when we're analyzing our destiny, that's where praise is. We talk about God as the source. We're not thinking of that is He's the source. And listen, we talk about it normal. Not time to pray. You know, I said, let's begin to praise God. Let us enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. You must understand the difference between the old dispensation and the current dispensation. Under the old dispensation, things were broken into pieces for clarity's sake. Do you get my point? Like, for example, you see the Aaron's garment. Different pieces described here and there. Yet only him wore it. The priests had their garment, but now God expects all of us to wear that the same garment. Everybody wears the same garment, but you don't see them physically on us. You now see different attributes, and they are in us all the time. Israel had different sacrifices. Different sacrifices. All of them, parts of the sacrifice of Jesus. But they were broken to pieces for sake of clarity, so that we will know what the sacrifice of Jesus entails. Are you getting my point here? You hear Israel had a high priest, and they had the sacrificial lamb. But in Christ Jesus, we have both of them in one person. But it had to be broken into separate parts, so that we'll see different functions that the Lord Jesus is going to perform. In the same manner, when you hear about entering his courts with praise, entering his gates with thanksgiving, God doesn't really expect that you left the courts in the first place or left the gates. He expects that you are dwelling in his presence all the days of your life. That's what he expects. But then that dwelling is with an attitude of praise and an attitude of what? Thanksgiving. You know, so that's how you dwell constantly. It's not as if now let us enter, as if when you come to church, he's entering his gates. Come on. The church is not the house of God. I hope you know, the physical building. I hope you know it's not the house of God. And there are many churches God does not go to. The fact that God doesn't even go to any church, really, he doesn't go to any. We are the ones that are bringing in us to the place. So it's not as if we have come to meet God today. Where? If you didn't come with God, you are not meeting him there. Because we are the body. The Holy Spirit dwells in us. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. It's when we come together that he's present where two or three are gathered. Not as if he's there waiting for us. And then enter the church, suddenly you look holy. What you can't wear to church, what you wear to work, it can't go to church. It's too indecent. What you wear for lectures, you can't wear to church. It is too indecent. God must not see my cleavage, but my classmates can see it. Are you getting my point? That's because we don't understand it. We don't understand that every time we appear, we are representing somebody, we are carrying somebody. That's why you cannot say, I'm entering his gates with thanksgiving as if it's a place you are about to start entering. No. As far as Christians are concerned, you dwell there all the time. It's a place you abide in. You are getting the principle here. So I'm trying to emphasize to us again. Now, but let's not forget why we read that long portion. Let me just get back there. Quickly, let's go back to that portion. So praise, I'm emphasizing, what is praise? It's ascribing to God the glory that is due his name. That is what praise is. We ascribe to him that is the glory that is due to his name. Second Chronicles, let's just go back there. Verse 22. Let's just start from 21, just to give some beef to it. When he had consulted with the people, that is Jehoshaphat, he appointed those who sang to the Lord and those who praised him in holy attire. As they went out before the army and said, give thanks to the Lord, for his loving kindness is everlasting. And that's it in verse 22. When they began singing and praising, the Lord set ambushes against the sons of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah. So they were routed. Now, we know how they were routed. That's verse 23. But what I want to just emphasize is that verse 22. When they began singing and praising. Now, we read it just now. We analyzed it last time. That you see that the time they were singing and praising, they did not know what was going on in the camp of the enemies. They were not seeing it. The time the enemies fought themselves and destroyed themselves, they were not aware. It was when they got to a particular point, they realized that it had happened. But the Bible says it was while they were singing and praising. I want to emphasize something here. Spiritual things are interesting, very, very interesting. You know, things that are said in secret, they have an effect somewhere else. They have an effect somewhere else. That is, what is it? When are we singing and praising? Yes, and that's not my emphasis, okay? Yes, we do sing and praise when we are worshiping. Like in the morning, you get up in the house, you want to pray, you sing. Or you put it late at night, you worship before you sleep. Or we come here together, or you go to church, and you are worshiping. That is true. That I'm not taking anything away from that. But I'm just saying that's not what I'm talking about. Like, well, remember that our emphasis has been on what? Men ought always to pray, to praise. Praise without what? Ceasing. That's what our emphasis on. Now, we are saying here, so what is praise? Let me get back to it again. Praise, we said, is giving to God, ascribing to him the glory that is due his name. Do you understand my point? So, if, Now, let me just say something quickly about the mentality that God taught the Israelites. They saw God in everything. If a man killed another man by accident, the expression in the Bible is that God delivered him into his hands. If a man overcomes another in battle, the expression is that God gave him victory. Are you getting my point? If a man invested in business and he prospered, the way the Israelite was taught to think, the way he was taught, was that God gave him prosperity. In fact, even though they had methods by which things were done, David was a man of war. He used to teach his men how to fight. How do I know? He would tell you that the Lord taught my hand to fight, to war, so that I learned the technique of bending a bow made of steel or brass, using the Bible and King James expression. So I learned the technique. There was a technique. The men could teach themselves. Okay? Yet, despite all of these things, David will ask, shall I pursue them? Will I overcome? Will you give me the victory? They were taught to think, which is a matter of reality, that no matter what you experience, no matter how much you trained yourself for it, that victory is of the Lord. So we tell you, some trust in chariots, some trust in horses. These men had chariots, they had horses, but they said we can't trust in them. You are getting what I'm trying to say here? So the mind was taught to think properly. What is the proper thought? If I have victory, it is God that gave me victory. If I fail, it is because God refused to grant victory, or God outrightly commanded failure. So that when they lost battles, Joshua would tear his cloth and ask God, what happened? It didn't cross his mind that we made a mistake in strategy. They went to Ai, and they made a strategic error. Military mistake. They went spied and said the place is small. Just a few men will handle it. Send 3,000 soldiers. 3,000 men went there and they were beaten. And Joshua did not think that. Why? Who told me 3,000? Where are the spies? Where are the spies? You said the city was small. Oh yeah, bring them out and hang them for misleading the congregation. No. Joshua had the proper Israelite mindset. We lost. Yes, the soldiers were few. When he went back to battle, he went with 10 times the number of soldiers he went over with the first time. 10 times. But before he went back 10 times, you know what he did? He tore his garment and said, Lord, why did you turn your back on us? Because he understood that if God did not turn his back, even if we went with two people, we should have won.
Yeah. Yeah.
That victory is of the Lord. It's not in the number of horses. It's not the number of chariots. It's not the number of horsemen. So his own is that, what happened? Then the Lord now showed him, you know, the story of Achan and all of that. And after they wiped out the iniquity from amongst them, they returned to battle. Now, untaught people, people who don't know the word of God, we sit down and analyze the military strategy that led to the initial failure. Going with too few soldiers. The soldiers are few. And then when he corrected his strategy, you can see it, and it looks reasonable. You could see it. First time, 3,000 soldiers. Second time, 30,000. Second time, they had a strategy. Half of you go towards the city. Start the fight. Then those men will come out after you. Then run. Start running. Start running. Run, run, run. And they will pursue you. Then after a while, of course, most of them will have followed you. They will leave the city unguarded. They had beautiful strategies. And did it work? Yes. But was that why they won? No. It's because Achan was dead. Their casting had been removed from their midst. You see, that's what I mean by giving God the glory due his name. That repentance alone that Joshua did was praise. By saying that, we lost the battle because he refused to bless the journey. Lord, why did he not agree to bless it? That the power for victory is with you. You are seeing what praise is? That's what I'm going to emphasize. So that when we are talking, we can be planning to say this business, we are going to raise investors, we are going to put this one down, we have land here, we get the bank to do this. My God, this is beautiful planning. They will not remember to tell us, oh boy, all this on the arm of flesh, if God does not bless it. That simple statement is what God calls praise. Many times we put it down and say, let us worship God over it. We start what I call hailing him. You are trying to bribe me and say, God, we have a strategy. So join us, just join us. You will get your portion. So the prayer is not really born out of genuine praise. We think that we will succeed because we have the best staff. We will succeed because we have the best degrees, the best connection. We have everything. The praise is just a habit. Even if a Muslim did this, it will work. But let's just pray, you know, we are Christians. You are getting my point? That is the exact opposite of praise. So I'm getting us to understand something. So the Israel mind was taught, and that's what we are supposed to do. Let me say this again. We've taken a huge chunk of God's glory and given to the devil. Pastors, I've also given it. Many of your colleagues, many of our colleagues, we are responsible. A man fails, what do we say? It is the witches in the household. You don't understand. You have ascribed glory to them. You have told them they have the kind of power that God cannot do anything about. We don't realize when we do these things. We don't, listen, that's the praise of God that we have dashed out. Even when we claim we are teaching faith, we magnify the devil so much that the reason why things are not getting done is because of the devil. We don't realize that what we are saying is that he has the kind of power that he actually doesn't have, which actually belongs to God. That's what I'm talking about. Praise is a habit. It's when you and I are talking to one another, we are analyzing things. That is when praise is actually springing forth. Now, remember what we're saying. Now, you know, I digress just to get a mind right. Let's fill our hearts with the truth that God actually is in control. That's why the Bible says you should give thanks. Two things. One, in all situations. Two, for all things. What about when it is bad? Let me tell you why God is God. It is because things that don't make sense, he can make sense out of them. If everything works according to principle and according to order, that is all predictable, then there's no place for God. I don't know whether you get my point here. Like what science has tried to prove over time is that God is an unnecessary part of the equation. Like one man said, luck is for the ill-prepared. That's wrong thinking. Science tries to prove to us, in fact, what they say is this, that even for some of them who believe in God, they believe that God has set the mechanism in motion and things are just running by themselves. That if you learn enough of the laws, you'll be able to predict everything. They've taken the glory away from him entirely. They believe things have just been set, so God can't do anything about it. But unfortunately, it's not so. And every time he confounds people, but they still refuse to acknowledge it. They think, okay, we need to learn new laws. They keep learning, like, because of my own natural understanding of, you know, secular things, you know, science and all of that. I am convinced one major reason why many diseases don't have a cure is because the people who are researching into it believe it's a game of chance. They don't believe that an enemy has done this. Are you getting my point? They don't believe that people are in control that they cannot see. So they keep researching, and hundreds of billions of dollars have gone into cancer research with little progress. Anytime I read the thing, I just laugh. I say, you guys, one day God will show mercy, things will turn around. But right now, the whole foundation is based on there is no God. Everything is a matter of chance. But I'm saying we are supposed to fill our hearts with understanding that God is in everything. That's why we give thanks for everything. And in every situation, we thank God. Because that is real praise. That is real praise. That is real praise. That is what actually shows that we recognize that he's the one in charge. That's why we pray about everything. Not as a checklist, just say we are prayed about it. No. We literally mean it. Lord, though, I am, like James said, Some will say, we'll go there, we'll do the wooden. They say, why don't you say, if God permits? He wasn't trying to say that the will of God is nebulous. He was trying to explain to them that you don't have control of life. Everything is within God's control. You can plan everything and it will go wrong. Why will it go wrong? Because God said no. Please, I hope you're following my point here. That is what praise is. Look, please, I've not been able to leave this thing. Praise is a habit, is a mindset that says to itself, the person says to himself, look, my life is in God's hands. It is not my planning. It is the Lord that gives me what? The power to get wealth. So that even if I have the degree that gets wealth, I have the connections that get wealth, I don't for one moment put my heart on it. And let me say something. God will always, now something clicked in my heart. T.D. Jakes long ago taught a message, what he called the sacrifice of praise. I can't remember exactly what he said, but I'm coming from another angle now. Listen to this. Many times, God will demand a sacrifice of praise from your hands. You say, what do you mean by sacrifice of praise? This is what I mean. You have the connections. You have the plans. Everything is okay. Do you understand? Everything is just perfect. What you now need to do is to just somebody now say, you know the minister for this. Call him. You just look and say, and the Holy Spirit will just let you know. Or maybe you even try to call him once or twice. You pick, and he's your friend. Minister for labor, and that's one area where you need approval from that for that thing. You call him, and he says, Chris, how now? Please, call me back. I'm in a meeting. That's it. After 3 days, you call him again. He doesn't pick. After 1 week, you call him again. He picks and says, please, I will call you back. I'm busy. And the Holy Spirit is just telling you, can you see this man is not going to talk to you? Is your project going to go on without him? That's the question. That's the sacrifice of praise. Are you saying he's the one that is needed to have it go on, or the power belongs to God? You will say the power belongs to God. So don't call him again. That is the sacrifice of praise. So your friends are looking and say, you haven't called him? No. Why not? No need. No, now, that's where we get the approval from. But God, look, everything looks clear. But Baba God just says, this time around, this is what? My sacrifice of praise. This is one phone call you will not make to say to yourself, God is actually in control. That's what I mean by sacrifice of praise. That is, what is that sacrifice? It's one advantage you have, you just refuse to use. At other times, we might use them. But today, we are offering a sacrifice that says that we want to show that God is the one in charge and we will not open our mouths to ask for any human help even though the help is available. What is it? It's just my sacrifice of praise. There are things you do and you just totally, it's silly. Everybody thinks it's crazy. But why are you doing it? You say, look, I've gotten used to things working because we planned it. I just want to remind myself. And again, sometimes I'm not sacrifice of praise. Listen to this. You plan this. Next month we'll do this. Next month we'll invest this. Next month we'll go here. You planned everything. And then it collapses. All the plans fail one after the other. And so you realize that there was one email you told one man in the office to send. And as it was clicking send, there was network failure. That's the email that was supposed to book the flight. Three of you are supposed to go somewhere. You're supposed to click send, then they would... are you getting my point? Those little click to approve, all those kind of things. But as the guy was about to click to approve, he clicked to. There was network interruption. While he was doing that, suddenly they called him. His wife called him. Time to go. They're taking their son to school. And he leaves and forgets for the network to return and for him to click send. Are you getting what I'm saying here? You now find out. They say, why didn't this thing work? You get to maybe your travel agent. Say, no, you guys did not approve payment. We sent you an email. We are supposed to return this. You did not. And you turn to Israel. Israel, what happened? He said, I forgot. I actually clicked send, but there was small network interruption. Plans, millions, everything. Now, he said, what's the sacrifice of praise? You can say, this is the problem I have with you people. you start getting angry and raking and raking and raking. God said, no, I want a sacrifice of praise. Put up your hands and worship. Say, God stopped him from sending the email. That is a sacrifice of praise. That he doesn't have the power to scuttle that arrangement. You just look and say, Lord, thank you. In your mind's eye, you see one angel pull the network plug while the man was clicking send or approve. As soon as he left, the angel put the plug back. In your mind's eye, you see it and say, all power belongs to God. This is a plan of 1 million, 2 million, 200 million naira that's just going down the drain, appears like. But what is the sacrifice of praise? At this point, I will blame no human being. At this point, I will not be angry. We're just going to spend the evening. You're going to call your wife. Sorry, we didn't travel again. What happened? I'll let you know when we get back home. You go back home, carry your children. You go somewhere and go and eat expensive Chinese food as unto the Lord. No, there's food you eat. It's for the Lord. You know that? I don't have time to explain it now, but it's like that. It's like that. There are times you go and eat useless, expensive food. Say, so what is this? So I'm giving God an offering. Look, you could have cooked for 5,000 in your household. Better food. But that one, you go out, eat for two. 30K. And everybody looking at you. They don't know you are worshipping. I mean, serious worship. The man who owned, the guy who comes to collect the money, you know, of course, you bring your ATM card, you pay them. The guy who brings this thing, you dash him 5,000 naira. The guy at the door, you dash him 5,000. The guy at the gate, you dash him 5,000. Your wife is wondering whether my husband has gone mad again. He won't know that for that evening, the offering is 150K. You don't chop 30, you go, they dash out. Somebody will go on the road. What happened? I was just crossing, my egg fell, and I can't go home now because I was supposed to sell a crate of eggs. Okay, I'll dash. How much is the whole crate? You pay for two. It's one that broke home. Continue going. Why? You are celebrating, you just lost money. Yes. All the offering for this evening is a sacrifice of what? Praise. What are you saying? That loss is not the devil. He doesn't have... Please, sometimes we glorify this devil too much. So that loss is not the devil. I mean, you've been chasing one woman like this for maybe like 18 months. Intense. Chris. Yeah. You are the one I should be talking to. Not this one that has fathered 3 children. It's you. 18 months. Prayer, prophecy, and leading of the Spirit all combined. Not to talk about, you know what a young man should do. You spend your money. Recharge card on a Saturday morning when nothing is happening. Single boys, that's how to do it too. Don't be phoning all the time. I just want to see how you are doing. She's fine. Don't worry. Send the recharge. Just transfer something. So what is it about? Nothing. Just woke up this morning thinking about you. Oh, more. You go to marry. Now you have done all of that. You've done everything. Her birthday, how can you forget? They know you in that place, in the mall, that expensive ice cream section. They know you. You have an account with them. And finally, everything's just looking good. In fact, you've gone to buy the ring. You're now going to watch one stupid American movie that shows a man kneeling with the right knee to ask a woman to marry him. Crazy boys. You do that, God will punish you. How can you be kneeling with a woman to beg you, to marry you? You're crazy. You see Adam kneel down. You just wake up, learn some bad, bad things. If you start by kneeling down, you shall continue to kneel down. Kneeling shall be your portion. When you want a man, woman to marry, you stand straight. Let her know you are the man that you want to marry. Say, oh girl, the Lord bless you. Let me see if we've been kneeling down with one hand. Rubbish and nonsense. The way you get a result is how you sustain it. You stand by kneeling down, you shall continue kneeling down. If I want to talk to your wife, I say, okay, I'll come back. Lord is good. I want to propose to a woman. Oh, but I mean, stand tall, stand straight. I say, Angelina. The confident. I'm not saying she don't bring a ring. Bring the ring. I said, I believe the Lord will be pleased if you and I, we travel this journey of life together. I am going somewhere. I need you to go with me. Hallelujah. That's how you do such things. I mean, don't you see this boy is kneeling down? See the divorce rate. Read your Bible. When they brought Rebecca, he said, is that my Lord over there? He said, yes. That's it. Not kneeling, I said, Rebecca, here am I on my knees, wanting you to comfort me. Oh, rubbish and nonsense. The Lord is good. Let's go back with it. So you have done all that, Chris, and I'm on your case, all right? So you have, you have done everything to your surprise. You didn't, there's nothing she wants to think about it. Then she thinks about it. I say, it looks like it is not pleasing to the Lord. Ah, 18 months. You know what I'm saying? Investment of time, prayer, energy, everything. All the romantic, you have written poem. They don't know what you are. Whether you are Wole Soyinka, Solomon. You know, you don't write poem. Even you are almost starting your own album label because you've written songs. This is sacrifice of praise. You will just look at it and say, only the Lord could have said to her, no. Don't be angry. These girls, I don't know what's wrong with them. They'll be deceiving you. You don't believe in God when you talk like that. You just say, only the Lord could have said no. And for that reason, your heart is broken, slightly. I mean, what you will walk on is this heart you will not break. You will worship and thank God. You will give thanks and you'll be praising God who said no. Are you getting my point?
Yes, sir.
It is not the woman. She's not the one. It is God that said no. That's the praise we are talking about. It is God that said no. It's not that woman. The man who forget to approve payment, you know, for your ticket so that you guys can travel, is not the one. It's God that just said no. Don't forget, there was a time Joseph was in prison. He helped a man, a connected man. You can imagine that they imprisoned Papa Sunde Fashola. And then you now let him know that, I know what happened. I had a vision. And the Lord said, you should go and investigate this account. It's in this bank, There's a man who signed those transactions. He's the one that's responsible. And true, he calls somebody he knows, EFC finds out, and next day they release him. And he said, praise God. After all, he's a right-hand man, you know, in Aso Rock. He's a big power man there. So you are waiting for, I say, oh God, please, when they, you know, now that you are being released, remember me, I'm just a lowly officer in the bank. Now Access Bank at the work. Now I'm not doing, are you getting my point? That day, I didn't even come to work until now. I was late that day. The fraud took place at 8:30, but they said they used my cubicle. And Fashola believes you totally. And he says, look, my guy, don't worry. This is injustice. These policemen would not do their work. It's injustice. Just watch out for me. And he leaves the place. 6 months. 1 year. 2 years. And you see him on television. Once in a while, you hear news. So he even came to the area where your prison is. And he's there commissioning project. In fact, there's now constant power in your prison because of him. Normal human being, useless. Human beings are ungrateful. Yeah. You finish helping them, they don't remember you. Yeah. That's a human mindset. But the man, the woman who understands the praise of God, doesn't reason like that. How does he or she reason? Say, God has not granted me deliverance by his hands. That's exactly what happened to Joseph. But remember Joseph's case? The time God said the man should remember. The man was angry with himself. He said, God, forgive me. I forgot this young man totally. 2 years ago, my Lord Pharaoh, you remember you were angry with me, you put me in prison. Do you know how I came out? There was a young man that was in prison with me who gave a revelation. I forgot, God, forgive me. But you know the truth? It was God that said, this is the season to remember Joseph. That is what I'm calling praise now.
Yes, sir.
So when you are talking to people, that's what I'm talking about. This is how you reason. This is how you reason. What are you doing? You are ascribing to God the glory due his name. It's not just when we want to pray, you know, time, prayer time. Let's raise our hands. Let's worship the Lord. Like I said the other time, you start worshiping him as God that makes the stars. Oh, Lord, I made the stars. You made 100 billion galaxies. We have been told that in each galaxy, there are 100 billion stars. Oh, we worship you. Oh, God. God that made the seas and God that made the planets. You will make more planets. Keep on making. Then they say salaries have not been paid. The problem is in Nigeria is a problem of rulers. The rulers don't care about the welfare of the citizens. This country is useless. We are not going anywhere. Why? We are going to die. Why won't we die? The rulers don't care. You know why? As far as you are concerned, God can only make stars. He can make moon. He can make seas. But as for your salary, he doesn't have power over it. He's a bloody politician that has power over your salary. As for your progress and promotion, God has released that one to PDP and to APC. But to make stars, he's busy. He's so busy making stars, he doesn't remember you have issues down here. So you have to solve your own issue by yourself. You will run away from one place and go to another. Say, America, I worship before thee. You that guarantees progress for everyone that come unto thee. We worship before thee. We swear allegiance to thine flag. As for that God, he's busy making stars. But you make millionaires. You make food. You make destiny for the children. America, we worship. You have a brother too? Yes, Europe. Ah! Angela Merkel, we come to thine country as thou art legalizing homosexual marriages. Thou art putting it to vote right now. Does it matter? DOD alone can guarantee the future. Angela Merkel, please let us in. Even as you are Brexiting, Britain, don't worry, we will exit with you. Because once we are in D, the future of our children, our grandchildren, secure. Our God is a great God when it comes to making stars. Our God is a great God when it comes to history. He delivered Jericho out of the hand of the Israelites. You've forgotten the Bible. Why you are busy running up and down. And that is the praise we offer every day. Why? That's how we discuss. When we are in prayer, we don't say what these things are. We don't say these things when we are in prayer. We don't say these things when we are in prayer. But the Bible said, those that fear the Lord spoke often one to another. And the Lord heard. But back to the scripture we are reading. He said, the Lord, while they were praising, what is praise again? When you're talking with your wife, say, don't worry, the Lord will take care of it. Don't worry, the Lord will take care of it. That man refused to help us. Don't worry about him. Our help belongs to God. It comes from the Lord. We don't lift our eyes to the hills. From God comes our help, the maker of the heavens and the earth. If one door closes, he will open another door. Don't worry, I didn't get that job. Another job is coming. Another job is coming. I don't have to work in that company. We can have our own business. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for today's disappointment. Thank you that we don't have the food we would have loved to eat, but what you give us is our manna for today. We eat the food, one leftover rice, no meat, no chicken. We rejoice over it. It starts tasting nice. And as a matter of fact, rejoice over deficient food like that. God puts in vitamins you're not even aware. He will do that. No, take my word for it. He will do that. He will do it. Rejoice over food, he puts minerals and nutrients inside you did not know you needed. Your food that looks dry will contain more nutrients than the man that has a sumptuous table set before him. Why? You started it with rejoicing and thanksgiving. That scripture we're reading. Let's go back there. So when they began singing and praising, the Lord set ambushes against their problems. When they were praising God in their bedrooms, the man, his wife, a friend to a friend, over a bottle of, you know, soft drink, they're just talking about the situation of the country. The Lord began to solve problems. Not why they were discussing the problem, but why they were praising. I hope you're getting my point here. Why they were what? praising. While they were praising, the Lord began to solve problems. While they were saying that, listen, my progress is not where I go to or where I don't go to. It is of the Lord. While he's saying that, God is causing one man, suddenly, Dangote will just wake up with one idea. Or innocent will say, look, we are tired of putting our plastic industry here. We are moving over to this side. You know why? God just wants him to create employment next to you. Do you understand my point? A man says to you, except you leave Enugu and move to Port Harcourt or Lagos, there will be no opportunity. And you say to him, not from the east, not from the west, not from the south, comes exaltation. Promotion does not come from any of these places, but God is judge. He brings that one and he lifts up another. Listen, it's not running up and down. God will open the door for me. Now, we're not praying, no. We're just responding to a statement made by an unbelieving Christian, an unbelieving friend. While they were praising, see what I'm saying? It is that praise time that the Lord set what ambushes. So what happens at that time, they are saying it, God suddenly wakes somebody up, say, hey, go and open a branch in the back of Liki there. He said, go and open. He said, you are manufacturing all the way in Lagos. You distribute in Onitsha. All right? And the other part, how do you penetrate? Onitsha is not, you know, they start telling all kinds of stories. You need to penetrate further. So let's open a regional office in Abakaliki. All the people qualified to run the regional office, they've all gone to Lagos, Abuja, and Port Harcourt to look for jobs. You're the only one still hanging around. It appears like the day you wanted to travel, you got to AutoStar late. All the buses had gone. Is that how angels work? You wanted to travel, everything got scuttled. You got to a place late, you know, you didn't have enough money. And that's why you are around, not because, you know, please read my book, Guided by the Spirit. It's not every time the Holy Spirit will say to you, my son, my daughter, thou shall arise and wait behind. He says that once in a while, but I've realized that Abraham all his life heard the voice of God like that in a handful of times. Abraham that God even encountered so strongly, just a handful of times. Just a handful of times. Most time he leads, you don't even know he's leading. That's also the praise of God, for you to know he's the one leading you. I told one of our sisters here, she was around last Bible study. One day, she was used to be in Enugu. She went to school here. She was traveling home to Abuja, and she got to the park. Then, bikes were allowed in Enugu. She took a bike, went, stop. The bike man refused to stop. And blew past where she was going and finally stopped in front and said, sorry. Hey, look at the bus I wanted to enter. The story, I can't remember the details now. But the man said, please enter this one now. So she entered that one. The other one ran into it for a tanker and killed everybody. She beheld it with her eyes. It's not every time the Holy Spirit come and say to you, my daughter, thou shalt not take this bus. Check the other one. A bike man can be the Holy Spirit messenger for the day. That was the day, of course, I had to teach here. I had a flight to catch in Lagos, international flight, 9 p.m. That everybody says is the wrong thing. That road was bad, you know, hold up and all of that. So I said, okay, they said, how do you get there? Of course, the easiest thing is take a flight. Okay, you get to Lagos. But that time, everybody canceled that. If they cancel your flight, you miss your international flight. So the most reliable thing then, funny enough, was to go by road because the flights were not reliable. When I went to buy my ticket, you know, somebody, I stood there. Yeah, Lagos tomorrow. The girl said, please excuse me. She took a call. Took a call, hung the phone, and said, hey, you said you wanted one, sir? Yeah, please, I want you one of your CNNs. Can I have a seat? Oh, I just saw the last ticket. That phone call was the last ticket, though. Like, what? I'm standing in front of you. You sold my ticket to somebody who's calling you from somewhere. Hey, sorry, sir. I have to travel tomorrow morning. It was at AutoStar here. Then you go by one of our bigger buses. I looked. Very reluctantly, I paid for that one. Next morning, I came. I was sitting inside my own seat. One man came. He may come from Ogu or something. He paid for one of those Siennas. But because before he came from any one of the neighboring towns, before he arrived early in the morning, that bus had gone off. So he was still getting angry. So they put him inside the bus with me. And because that one is, the other one that he paid for is more expensive. So he expected a refund. He said, which kind of refund? It's you that did not come now. But I've been doing you a favor. Anyway, make it long story short. Okay, what happens is that I was my boss, so they came and said I should move. And then the driver of another bus came and said, sir, do you want to join my bus? I'm moving now. So I said, look, I choose where I sit. He said, come and check. I think you have a comfortable seat. So I went to his bus, checked. I said, okay, this will be comfortable. So he moved me to his seat, to his seat there. Then the other man came, joined us in there, and we took off. Do you know? When we got to Ore, and I saw cars extending, you know, into the horizon. You know, every direction. No idling to go. No, they were inside the bush, peeing, poo-pooing. You know, they had left the vehicle. Everybody had disappeared. This vehicle is not going anywhere. When I looked to the front, I said, brethren, continue praying. You know, what's up? Now, part of the problem is that they were constructing on one side of the road. The holdup was, of course, you know, they were stretching for kilometers, kilometers. We're inside. Then suddenly one man came, removed the barrier between one side and the other side of the road. This side had just been surfaced, you know, shining new. They just finished leveling it. So they just opened it. Now, beyond that one was kilometers in front. Just opened one side, and we're just like three or four cars behind that place. So the vehicles on the front just turned. One, two, three. Next thing, we just joined. And boom! 6 feet! Remember the guy who was complaining about his Sienna? That they moved into our bus? We saw all the AutoStar vehicles that left before us. Every single one, they were queued up inside the long holdup. You know, they couldn't reverse into that place. Yeah. Brother, I got to Lagos on time. I had time to have a bath. You know, freshen up well. My brother because he was going to pick my visa for me from the embassy. He came and met me. He and another of our brothers took me to the airport. You know, I got there on time, feeling very, and I changed because if I'm going to the U.S., I wear African cloth. I don't wear jeans and t-shirts. No, I'm not saying you should do like me, just me. It's just me. I don't mistakenly think I'm an American black. I'm not. I'm Nigerian. I like it like that. So there's no mistake. I had time to change into my robe, you know. All the other guys that bought the tickets, I don't know when they got to Lagos. So, now, you know, it's sweet now to say, tell the story. When they were making that call and taking my seat, if I didn't understand the praise of God, I would have been quarreling with the girl. But by that time, I understood. I said, no, the Lord just took that ticket and said, that one is not yours. Yeah. The Lord just said, that one is not yours. That one is not yours. That's what I mean by the praise of God. But let me just emphasize this again. It was while they were praising. The emphasis now being on, let's praise God so that he can kill our enemies. No. When we are praising normally, when we are talking normally, God starts moving things on our behalf. Our words, that's where praise is. It's not just when we raise our hands. When we are talking, that's where praise is. Oh, why is the business not doing well? We have a wrong location. We have taken praise away from God. Why did this man get the job and he didn't get it? You know, he got there early. Success is knowing, have you heard that lie before? Success is knowing how to be at the right place at the right time. Sounds very nice, right? But you know it's totally meaningless. If you ever hear that thing, know it's meaningless. Because how do you determine the right place? Even the law of quantum mechanics tells you cannot tell the position and the velocity of a particle at the same time. God knows that it is not possible to know the right place at the right time ahead of that time. It's always known behind. It's what that when the time has passed, when you were not in the right place at the right time, you now open your mouth and be disgracing yourself. See? Success is about being in the right place at the right time. I strategically located myself and people will be paying to listen to your lies. And I call you a motivational speaker. Most of the people that have been motivated have been confused. They motivated them into destruction. They've lost everything. But you won't know because nobody gives any microphone to share testimony of how I failed. Say, brethren, do you have testimony of failure today? Yes, I have. I was motivated into destruction. Praise God. Nobody will allow you that. It is not possible to know the right place ahead of the right time. Your times, your seasons belong to God. So how are we succeeding? First thing you say, we thank God. It's God's favor. How did the favor manifest? Oh, there was a particular day. I happened to be in so-and-so place. You get my point? That's praise. Now, when you give God praise like that, you don't take hope away from other people. Because when you give praise to your certificate and your connection, you've taken hope away from those who don't have it. Are you getting my point here? Those who don't have those things, they've lost hope. They've lost hope. But you are supposed to describe the praise of God all the time. What am I saying to us today again? That when we do that as a matter of habit, that is when he starts working on our behalf. It's not really like, because faith is activating spiritual matter. You understand? That's what faith does. When you are doing that, you are actually activating spiritual substance. Things start moving on your behalf. Somebody says, if you don't go to Abuja, you know you can't make it in this ministry thing. You say, forget it. God is judge. Just by saying that, God rearranges their activities around where you are. Just by saying that. Because as we're singing and praising, the Lord sent ambushes into the camp of the enemies, into the camp of poverty, into the camp of unemployment, into every camp. That is how God sends ambushes inside there. When people are doing what? Praising and singing. When from their hearts they are appreciating that God is actually the one that is in charge of every aspect of my life. Let's read one more scripture and then we'll just, let's not bother reading it. I'll just quote it. That Exodus chapter 20, which we have read many times. He said that, what's the third commandment? Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. But we have learned it here. What does it mean? Literally in the Hebrew, this one, you can read the Young's literal translation. It says, you shall not take the name of the Lord thy God for a vain thing. Now, many of us look at it as if, don't take the name of God and call it in vain. Don't say, hey, Jesus, why did you cross the road? They say, you are taking the name of the Lord in vain. Don't swear and say, Jesus, God will punish you today. It's the name of the Lord in vain. Those things, they're not good, yes. Don't use the name of God anyhow. I agree. You shouldn't use God's name anyhow. But that's not what he was saying. What he was saying is that, let's go by it again. The first three commandments. First one is what? Thou shalt have no other God before me. So God says, in effect, I am the only God, don't have any other God. So, you've gotten to know God, the Father of our Lord Jesus. He's the only God. You don't go to any other God. Somebody will not give you another name. Say, we're all serving the same God. Don't answer them. It's not true. If you God, they are serving, is not the God, the Father of the Lord Jesus. Me and you are not serving the same God. That's one. Two, what's the second commandment? Don't make any image. This God, Moses said to them, you didn't see him. You only heard a voice. He doesn't have a form. So how do you make an image of what you did not see? So number two, thou shalt not make any image. Then number three, he said, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God for a vain thing. Now what that means is simple. One, we have agreed is only for them, Jehovah. Let's use the common name that people use now. That's their God, fine. Two, they are not going to make any image. But many times they will go into beautiful places and they will see lovely temples that have been built. Of one elderly man, handsome, like Zeus, the Greek god, Zeus, maybe made of gold. And you will say, well, we didn't make it. Let's just call this one, let's remove the name Zeus from the temple and put the name Jehovah on it. That was the third commandment. Don't take the name of the Lord thy God and place it on a vain thing. Idols are vain. And like I said to us before, Christians, we have done a lot of that. We did a lot of that. We take a vain festival, remove the name, baptize it with a new name, and call it Christmas. It's a festival of lights, festival where people celebrated all kinds of gods. The church came and said, let's continue celebrating, but this time around, let's put another person's name on it, and they called it Christmas. We did that with Easter. Jesus died on Friday, rose up on Sunday. Fat lie. Jesus could not have died on Friday and risen up on Sunday. That would have been 2 days and two nights. The Son of Man had to be in the belly of the earth like Jonah was for 3 days and three nights. But we just took some of these vain festivals and baptized them with the name of our God. But God said you shouldn't do that. All right? The Lord said you should not do that. So, what is it in our own life? How do we put the name of the Lord our God on a vain thing? It is simple. Why am I succeeding? Were it not for my uncle, I would be dead today. Can you see that?
Yes.
I have taken the name of the Lord and placed it on your uncle. I was not doing well until I got to America, or I got to Australia, or I got to South Africa. Thank God for South Africa. That is where progress is. You have taken the name of the Lord, your God, and placed it on a country. Are you getting my point? Some people do it. Ever since I connected with this ministry, the God of this ministry, we don't realize how bad it is, but we do it. Take the name of the Lord our God and put it on a commission. You know, that's how we use it. The God of this commission. Very funny. What is? No, it's, we do that. We do that. Believe me, I believe in men of God. We are preaching the gospel, okay? But there is nothing like, you know, when I attach myself to this commission, that's when prosperity came. Don't make such statements. When you attach yourself to Jesus, prosperity comes into your life. Progress comes into your life. Deliverance comes into your life. Yes, a ministry may have helped you discover Jesus. That is true. But don't ever mistakenly ascribe that glory to their name. Come and testify, oh, when I came here, I heard the word of God. I've been so tremendously blessed. Jesus has done this for me because he's doing it elsewhere. Oh, he's doing it elsewhere. He's doing it elsewhere. He's doing it elsewhere. He's doing it everywhere. Not everybody has a megaphone. They can't pay for newspaper and all the publicity. There are pastors that can't buy expensive suits, but they are doing miraculous things, eh? But they don't have anything to publicize it. You know, you've heard of the modern day release of the power of God. Azusa Street. You've heard that thing before?
Yeah.
Azusa, yeah, Azusa, Azusa. You know, Azusa. That was when the power of God came back into this. Huh? Was power of God in Azusa? Yes. Was that when he came back? No. Go and read Demos Shakarians. Go and read the story. He said, when they arrived in America, and Demos' grandfather was looking for work, they stumbled on Azusa Street and said, the thing we left behind in Armenia, they have it here too?
Yeah.
You see what I said?
Yes.
When they got to Azusa Street and saw the demonstration of the Spirit, people falling under the power, people speaking in other tongues, people preaching with fire, visions, revelations, they said, you mean America also has the Holy Spirit? They left, and listen to me, that Holy Spirit used to come from Russia. I'm not joking. I am not joking. No, go and buy the book now. I'm not telling you stories that are manufactured. Go and read the book, The Happiest People on Earth. The Happiest People on Earth by Demos Shakarian. It's in there. There were Russians that used to come down to Armenia. They were the ones that used to bring that power with them. Demos Shakarian's father was a skeptic until one of them had an interesting manifestation. That was the day he believed. When he got to the U.S., that's Demos Shakarian's grandfather. When they got to America and they were looking for work, one day they stumbled on Azusa Street and they said, the Holy Spirit is also here. Oh, God is wonderful. That is, are you getting my point? But because they did not produce the newspapers, they did not produce the modern literature, we assume that it was just Azusa Street. An American's typical braggadocious American attitude is, yeah, God remember the modern generation by pouring his grace. We thank God for their lives, but don't be fooled. Are you getting my point? As God is in one commission, he's in another church down the road that's not even commissioned. They are just there. The Lord is good. It's the praise of God I have spoken about. Let's rise to our feet. Let's rise to our feet. Let's rise to our feet. The power in praise is released as we praise and we sing unto him in our private moments, not just when we are in church. Let's begin to give thanks. Let's just take a few private moments here and ascribe the glory due to his name to him. I just feel like saying this. Let's start with the negative things in your life, things you wanted to achieve. You understand? The job you wanted to get, you did not get. You know, the promotion you wanted, you didn't get. The marriage you wanted, that did not happen. The connection that did not happen. The child that you wanted to have, you did not have. First of all, start with giving God thanks there. Start with that. Start thanking him that he's indeed your God. The devil is not. The witch is not. Society is not. Thank him for those negative things. Oh, listen, he knows how to make things work together for good. He knows how to. I was saying that earlier. He knows how to make things work together for good. Just begin to thank him for that. Say, Lord, I thank you. Just, Lord, I thank you for the things that didn't work out the way. You know what you are talking about. You specifically mention it. Because he's in your life. He's in your life. He said, maybe it was because of what you did wrong. Still thank him. He's a fair and just judge, but he's a merciful judge. Yes, yes, because of what you did wrong, that is true. That was a case of judgment. That is possible, very, very possible. But it could have been worse were it not that he was merciful. So thank him for the mercy. Say, Lord, thank you for mercy. Thank you for mercy. I lost money. Thank you. I could have lost 10 million, but I lost only 10,000. Thank you. Thank you. I could have been in debt, but I lost only what I had already. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. It's not the devil. It's not the devil. It's not the devil. The devil is only an accuser. He's only an accuser. When he's accusing Jesus, actually petitioning the Father on your behalf. God stays the hands of judgment. He stays the extent of judgment. He said, were it not that the Lord shortened the days of the tribulation, none will have been saved. That means God can shorten the day so that you are delivered. So thank him for your deliverance. Thank him for your deliverance. Thank him for that deliverance. Say, Lord, I thank you. Say, Lord, I thank you. Let's worship him. Ascribe to him the glory that is due his name. Now begin to declare after me, say, in the name of Jesus. My life is not an accident. I declare God my Father is King. He's in charge of my life. My life is not an accident. He's walking in me. He's walking around me. He's my God. He's my Father. He's my judge. He's a fair judge, but he's also a merciful God. Say, I abide in his mercy. He's watching over me carefully. He's arranging my life. My life is in his hands. I wanted to say that like you believe. Say, my life is totally, 100% in the hands of my God. It's not in the hand of the devil. It's not in the hand of witches. Listen to this. It's not in the hands of chance. It's in the hands of God. Say, I declare and I commit to that arrangement again. I say, Father, you are my God. My life is in your hands. I declare my life is in your hands. Say, even the negative things, you are working in them and bringing them for good. As it is written, all things work together for good. Because I love the Lord and because I'm called according to his purpose. Say, all things work together. Even though they appear negative, they work together for my good. I am going somewhere great. I am fulfilling my destiny. Now listen to this. Don't ever forget. When Joseph was being sold into slavery, it did not look good. Look, and those stories, this happening. In fact, it has happened to you already. You said you had a problem last year. They fired you from somewhere. That you are now in prison. Amen? Just stay in prison and enjoy it. And that is a matter of fact. It's a matter of fact. The king will soon send for you and lose you.
Amen.
Yes, even the rulers of the people. He will set you on the throne that God has prepared for you.
Amen.
But right now, we are giving thanks. Say, Lord, in the name of Jesus,
Lord, in the name of Jesus,
I give thanks
for being sold into slavery.
Yeah, we're talking as if we're Joseph now. Lord, I thank you,
for wrong accusation.
Lord, I thank you
for the hatred of my brothers.
Lord, I thank you
for Mrs. Potiphar.
Lord, I thank you
for Potiphar that did not listen to me,
but sent me into prison.
Thank you for the prison in Egypt.
Lord, I thank you
for my co-inmates.
Say, Lord, I thank you because I'm in prison.
I thank you because I'm working for you in prison.
Yeah, it's important. Say, wherever I am right now,
I am doing your will.
Wherever I am right now,
your purpose is being worked out in my life.
Say, it is being worked out in my life.
You are preparing me for what you want me to do.
I give you the praise.
I declare that you are in charge of my life.
Say, I say it again.
My life is not an accident.
You are my God.
You are my helper.
You are the source of my prosperity.
You are the source of increase for me.
Now say this. Say,
no nation.
No nation
holds my prosperity.
No nation
holds my increase.
No nation,
none
on this earth
holds the
secret to my advancement.
Say, my life is hid with Christ in God. My prosperity is in you, Lord. It is the Lord my God that's given me power to get wealth. So wherever I am, there I can prosper because my God is my judge. He brings down one and he lifts me up. Notice the way I said it. He's bringing down one and is lifting me up. God is my judge. Society is not my judge. The environment is not my judge. God is my judge. He's making all things work together for me. And I give him the glory. Say, the people of Mount Seir,
the Ammonites,
the Moabites,
right now,
they are being routed
in the name of Jesus.
Let me say something to you. You may not even know who they are. Are you getting my point?
Yes.
There are laws that have been written against you, but now they are being routed.
Amen.
Tony Bakari's story is always interesting there. Said, did you pray for him? Prophesied to him that God will make him prosper. He has gone to him that he should pray that God will bless him so that he will be able to have enough money to sponsor many things they were doing in church at that time, the gospel. And the man prayed for him, and they sacked him from his job. Listen to me. Any job that will not let you progress, be sacked in Jesus' name.
Amen.
And you are saying amen happily now. When it happens, please remember to rejoice.
Yes.
Let me say one more time. Any job that will limit you so that you will be short of God's glory for your life, right now, receive sack.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Your sack is coming.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
So if you are here today and you get fired, rejoice. Something great is about to happen to you.
Amen.
Don't feel bad for one moment. Just rejoice. Listen, somebody will be sacked. That's a matter of fact. But what I'm telling you is that it's so that you may be lifted.
Yes.
Tunde Bakari said to him, that's Pastor Yadiboye then, when he came to report, that you prayed, like I said, you didn't calibrate the bullet well. I told you to tell all my enemies to die, now me can't die. And the man of God laughed. Why did he laugh? He said, the kind of prosperity you prayed for, nobody will pay it to you as a salary. So the man now said to him, go and start your own practice. He's a lawyer. He said, there was a law that time that did not allow people like him to work on their own. A few days later, he was watching TV. The Armed Forces Ruling Council, Supreme Military Council that time, canceled that law. They canceled the law. I am convinced because of him. And the first job he got paid him 2 years salary at a go. Somebody say, thank God for sack.
Thank God for sack.
You know now, sack sounds very nice, right? Yes. So when it's happening to you, don't be afraid to. Just laugh. He said, you, when you see these things happen, look up. Your redemption draws near. Are you getting my point here? Listen to me. Everything that looks like a blessing today, that's making you comfortable so that God can lead you to another level, we destroy it in agreement in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Somebody, the landlord will give you quit notice. Don't be angry. That house, God doesn't like it again. A better one is waiting for you.
Amen.
Some, you will pack into your own.
Amen.
So don't, look, we are Christians. We don't behave the way unbelievers behave. We know that nothing happens to us by accident. You know what God said? If I don't want you to cut your hair, woe betide the barber that tries. You know, it's your Bible like that. You've not read it like that? It's in the Bible. The Bible says, if I don't want you to cut your hair, woe betide the barber that tries. How did Jesus say it? He said, not one strand of your hair falls down without your father knowing about it. It doesn't approve your hair can't cut. Do you get my point?
Yes.
So you now think your tire will now leak when a strand of hair cannot fall and God did not know about it. If tire misbehaves for me, I just stand there, I just be rejoicing. Lord, I thank you. Last time I was going for my convention, three of us ministers, our car spoiled at the same time. Pastor Craig was coming from Sokoto, his car knocked the engine. I was about to get to Benin. My car's oil meter, oil pump stopped working. Pastor Deva was coming, his brake spoiled. I said, it's going to be a great meeting. That's how I interpret it. Some people say, the devil said we will not go for this convention. The devil has never wanted us to go for anything. So there is nothing new. So why should I now be glorifying the devil? That one, I managed to get my family out of there. I sat in the car. I said, Lord, well, maybe I need this time to pray. I just looked for something to think about it. So I began to pray. I sat in my car. I began to pray. Father, I thank you. This meeting is going to be glorious. Because I didn't believe. And of course, don't forget one thing. Many times I say, God demands what from us? A sacrifice of what? Praise. What's a sacrifice of praise in that context? It's something you do that shows that you really believe that God is in charge. And number one sacrifice of praise is praise. You see what I said? At that time, just start praising God. Just start worshiping Him. Just start thanking Him. Many of us were trained to start saying, all my enemies, you have spoiled it. You spoiled it. Give God His sacrifice of praise. Why am I talking about it? Because sometimes, listen to me, there's a way spiritual things work. We've not had time. Well, we won't talk about it for now. I've talked about it years ago. I'm not talking about it in recent times. Many of the things we say, when God, you know, there are spiritual principles He operates by, which He engineers by Himself. There are times He wants to do something. He'll say, I'm having a conflict in the judgment room concerning this matter. Do you get my point? For us believers, it's a matter of faith. So, Satan is there saying, no, he can't move forward. No, he can't move forward. No, she can't move forward. No. Why? And Satan is bringing the accusations. And Jesus now says, he will move forward. She will move forward because I have blessed him. I have blessed her. Then Satan says, but blessings are activated by faith. So that's what the Bible calls the demonstration of his righteousness. So God, he knows your heart. He knows you have faith. He could just say, go ahead, bless him anyway. But say, no, let me show to the earth. Let me show to the heavens that I'm just. He said he has faith. So God said, all right, I'll prove a temptation for him. Satan is there. He can't move forward. So Jesus said, I bless this boy. I bless this girl. She will move forward. And God said, well, for me to rule, let's rule based on what? Faith. So I approved trial for him. So they signed a decree. Trial is allowed. One demon is allowed to disturb you. An angel is there crossing his hand looking at you as you are being disturbed. You want to cross the road in your car. One drunk driver slams into a wham, breaks your light when you are broke. When Satan wants to win, you know what happens? You will come out and say, God, but I paid my tithe. What are you? I paid my tithe. The special seed. God will just say, see how this boy done disgrace person. No, God will just want to show that you have faith. So that happens. That's why James said, count it all joy when you fall into what? Diverse trials and temptations. So at such times, what is God waiting for? What you will say with your mouth. So something evil like that happens. Don't forget, they are standing. He wants to write a judgment. He wants to approve something. But they said there has to be faith to back it. So, okay, let us do what they call the trial of faith. So that guy runs into the car. And you look. Now that I don't have anything, the children are supposed to resume school next week. All the money I have is for their school fees. You come out, you look and say, Lord, you are aware of all of these facts, right? In that case, you are a good God, you are a merciful God. I want to thank you because you remain faithful no matter what happens. Just tell yourself, park this car, take care for the next 1 month. Won't you repair it? I don't have the money to repair it. I'm sorry. You park it up. Oh, when God wants to make it worse, you know, there are times that you are jammed by a man poorer than you and you can see it. His car is worse than your own. When you see the man, you dash him money to buy analgesic because he was injured while he was injuring you. So that's the kind of person that God will now send that day. So you can't even drag with him. And this is Nigeria. Third party insurance is just for police. Of course. And so what do you do? How do you respond? There's always practical sides to these things. Father, I thank you. Lord, I rejoice in keke transportation. Thank you for buses. Thank you for everything. Just go and park the car, lock it up, pay children's school fees. Your children won't know where they got this air-conditioned vehicle from. Every day, keke go, they blow their face when they are going to school. Believe me, God needed that to approve your blessing. He needed it. Don't fail. Let's give it thanks. Say, Father, I thank you. Because you are a good God, you are a good judge, you are working. That's what they call the sacrifice of praise. Let's give him praise again. Let's give him praise again. Say, Lord, I thank you because you are good and you are working. I know. Look, my life is not an accident. Just give thanks again. That's what they call praise, though. That is what is called praise. That is what is called praise. All right, the Lord is good. Let's open our Bibles quickly. Just read this psalm together and then we close with it. Just please quickly go to Psalm 23. It's a psalm that is so beautiful, we should read it again. It's a psalm that tells us this thing that we have just discussed, Psalm 23. This is to let us know that God is in charge of our lives. That's what it means to be the shepherd. The Lord Jesus is in charge. He's the shepherd. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Are you there? All right, we're all there. Let's go. One, two, go. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Verse 4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. That is your portion in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Indeed, we give him praise because he's our shepherd. We give him praise because he's leading us. We praise him, our God, for he restores our soul. Father, we praise you. Jesus, we praise you. You guide us in the path of righteousness for your name's sake. Even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we will not fear any evil. For we know that you are with us. Your rod and your staff, they are comforting us. Thank you, because you have prepared the table before us. Yes, our enemies can't stop it. That's why we are not concerned about them. No, we are not. Our cup runs over. Thank you for goodness. Thank you for mercy. Thank you for your loving kindness does not fail. In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Let's share the grace in fellowship. Because of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, surely we have passed out of death and we have passed into life. We have passed out of darkness into the light of Christ. We have passed out from under the curse into the blessing. All things have passed away in our lives. We are now filled with the Spirit of Christ. We live above sin and walk above the devil because we are seated high above with Christ. This is our season of multiplication and dominion in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Please bless somebody on your left or your right. Bless another person, please. This is your season of multiplication. Bless one more person. Now, please give it to yourself.
This is my season of multiplication and dominion
in the name of Jesus. All right, cheer up, brethren. The word was. God bless you.